Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh man, do we have a treat for you. It's called week two. And you know the part where, I don't know, sometimes you might feel like, do I really understand what I'm looking at? Do I need to hear from the experts? What's happening this week? Because as far as I know, it's confusing and it might be nothing. Listener, do I have a gift for you? You know as much as anyone else does, because that's what week two is. Week two of the college football season, because that is what we discuss here on America's only college football podcast. Week two, frankly, confusing.
Week two is
empty.
Week two is the part of the word problem that does not, it contains no information that actually gets you towards the answer.
Week two is the salad after the like 5-day bacchanalia that is week one. Like week zero is your appetizer. Week five is like a buffet inside the buffet. You're in the secret buffet. You're on the rooftop buffet. Your body is an internal combustion buffet.
Which one of John Mayer's less popular songs.
It's still sexy though.
Yeah, I was gonna say just irresistibly sexy.
Your buffet is a wonderland.
Your body processes meatloaf.
Yeah, this is the last day in Vegas. When you say, oh, Jesus. When have I been here too long?
Yeah.
It's this day.
It's the, when we were in Texas, a couple years ago, and the last day there, I looked at a plate of meat and just thought, if I take one bite, I'm going to die. Or like this past weekend, when a bunch of us were in Atlanta and blogged and live showed and met and watched football and so forth in person for 5 days. And then Labor Day night at Taco Mac, we're just staring at queso and buffalo chicken like, boys, we might not make it out of this. And the next day, everyone just went their own way and ate salad. Just, I need some salad.
And the sick part is we have to stay up until 10:45 Eastern because I'll be goddamned if I'm missing Michigan State, Arizona State.
I would argue that you can help yourself by sleeping until 3 o'clock.
Oh, hey, I had great practice at that today.
You just need to learn how to like hibernate in short stretches.
Okay, you're always mastering this. No, listen, I want a ruling on this before. Okay. Spencer already has an opinion. I want a ruling on this. You're all dads. I'm not. I'm a terrible napper. At what point of a nap have you ceased to nap and did you just fall asleep?
I think it's the time of day, right?
Okay, I laid down to shut my eyes for a second at like 5:30, and I woke up at 8:30.
That's a nap that went a little wrong.
I think you're just. Okay. I think now you're up early.
Oh, I like this. I do feel my senses do feel heightened.
Yeah, at what point? Like for me, it's plausible to have a siesta. Mm-hmm. And the siesta to me could be an hour and a half to 2 hours.
This was Siesta Forever.
I love that song.
That's why you'll be up all night long. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. The real thing though is, and I've known people who've done this, when you're so tired that you take a nap from, I don't know, the earliest plausible post-work hour of 4:30 or 5, and then immediately go back to bed after waking for 15 to 30 minutes. Oh, that's king. That's king shit right there.
Instead I'm here.
That's called like post-surgery recovery.
Yeah, the important thing is you didn't wake up at 2 in the morning. That's when things have really gone wrong. When your body's like, oh, it's sleep time. You're like, no!
Yeah, I do feel slightly unstuck in time, but at least it was still...
If you slept for an amount of time that is equal to the time zone difference on the continental U.S., you're fine. Anything anything that becomes a transatlantic or plus flight, that's too long. You went to sleep.
I like this system. This is a good rule.
What's the most you've ever slept in a day, though? Like, and I mean,
14 hours.
14?
Yeah.
What were the circumstances for sleeping 14 hours in a day?
I am sure it was some law school, stayed up way... No. It was actually an undergrad because I was a hellacious procrastinator. And I stayed up literally for, I want to say, 27 hours finishing a paper, turned it in, and then slept from, let's see, it would have been, from like 10 in the morning until midnight. and then had to figure out what to do because I had turned myself into a nocturnal animal.
What did you do?
I'm pretty sure I just sort of like hung out quietly and tried to like not freak out because I remember at the time I was probably like a freshman or sophomore at Florida, and I was a little concerned that I had turned my life inside out and I would now have to only be awake at night and sleep during the day.
You turn yourself into a loris.
Well, I'm a raccoon now. Good night. I've
been sleeping from the ceiling wrapped in a cocoon of raccoons.
And that's how I got into NYU Law.
Oh, right, man. Ryan's up there like, oh God, I'm perpetually damaged.
What was the longest you've ever slept in a day, Jason? Like out of 24 hours?
It's probably not impressive. I'm not a strong sleeper. I go like 6 or 7 hours a night. I don't nap.
You get up crazy early too, don't you?
Seven.
You're always at a state of like partial rest though, which is I think your truest dad skill.
He's got a good like power saver mode.
Yeah, yeah. He operates in low battery mode in a lot of and whenever possible, which is smart.
My resting bitch face. The emphasis is on the resting.
I don't
nap. If I nap more than 10 minutes, I'm like, I'll be bolt awake until 3 a.m.
Yeah, I am not a good napper. I've never been able to make myself nap, and I fear what is to come tonight.
I'm a champion napper. However, like I can fall asleep anywhere at any time. I just need a lead. If you just tell me to go, I can do it, especially in daylight hours. People are like, I can't sleep outside in the day. Oh, man. I could fall asleep in a tanning bed. Please. I could fall asleep beneath a spotlight.
I'm trying to
happily.
Imagine the tanning bed that would close over you.
I once
it's an,
when
it's
I was,
an MRI.
I think
machine.
I had one of those semesters in college where I was determined to just see the least amount of effort I could expend in life, period. I think it's called being depressed. But it was also kind of like low energy jackass, right? Like, I'm Spencer Hall and this is 19 hour nap. Yeah, no, I went to bed, I got up at 4, you know, stretched my legs. And then I went back to bed at 6 and was like, I don't know, let's just keep this rolling, man. And I woke up at 9 the next morning.
Yeah, I think you were just a snake and it was cold outside.
It was like 83 degrees outside, I'm pretty sure.
That's so cold for some snakes.
That means you're one of those lizards that just suns itself on a rock.
Were you near a rock?
I don't know how many hours straight that is. Let's see, that's like being awake for 2-3 out of 24. So yeah, that's a good like 21 hours. In 24 hours.
It's pretty good.
You know, I'll be honest. I've had worse days.
I know you. That's a very low bar.
It doesn't mean much. But I've had worse days, to be honest.
Can I make a proposal for how we should run week 2? And it's not how we run week 2, and it never will be. But I want to share it with y'all anyway, because it's a bad idea.
I love I'm all bad for ideas. Bad ideas, yeah.
Great. So we've talked, I know we've talked on this show, and I know Podcast Ain't Played Nobody, the world's only math podcast, has also discussed this the bracket buster phenomenon, where you save some time, maybe like middle end of the season, and you pair up top 10 teams, top 20 teams, whatever, to sort of create one more opportunity for meaningful resume points. Eliminators decide who's going to get in the playoff, et cetera, et cetera. I think week 2 should borrow that concept, but it should be for fan anxiety. And what we should do is we should reserve 2 slots, maybe 3, depending, and say, okay, who's the most worked up and depressed and like concerned that they are watching things crumble before their eyes. Those teams after week 1 are, I don't know, Miami, Florida State, Michigan, Texas. Is that right? Did I leave anybody out?
That's a good group.
Okay. So let's say week 2, we say all of y'all forget who you've already got. And I'm pretty sure none of those 4 teams have anybody that interesting on the slate anyway. Michigan, Miami, you're playing each other. Texas, Florida State, you're playing each other. Ooh. Because now two teams are going to get to go home and feel better. They're going to get to say, okay, week one was rough, but we got a good win over a Power Five team that as of now is not in the basement. We can build on this. The other two teams can just say fuck it and pack it in and start being mad online.
Or do the two, do you do it like tournament style, like week three?
The two losers play the each other. The two
pissed off sad sacks play.
Man, just the piss bowl.
Which, whoever loses, they get to fire their coach.
Oh, yeah, without a buyout.
No buyout whatsoever.
All right, so Texas A&M can never play this game.
Or they, right. Yeah, no, not for 10 years.
I just think we should offer people like that psychological, because you know if you're Miami and you're worried now based on how you played against LSU, how is this week's game against Savannah State going to make you feel better? All it has the possibility of, admittedly slim, is to make you feel worse.
I don't know.
This is like early season creep of SoCon Challenge Week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know what a Miami fan's answer to that question is, though.
Cocaine?
It's a slur that we can't repeat on the radio.
Yeah, I'll translate. We're going to kick their ass. That's what it is. What, Savannah State beating them by 70? Fine. Awesome. I'm going to feel better about myself. Go Canes!
Go Canes really does sound a lot like cocaine.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that.
It's Larry Coker.
Why'd we hire him? He had an edge. He had Coke in his name.
What do you like about Ken Dorsey? He's white.
Hard white.
I mean, Brock Berlin, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, who would have signed that guy?
Oh.
He's got Rock in his name.
Same thing.
Yeah, the most famous Miami Hurricane football of all time is literally named The Rock.
That's true.
They put this shit front better, and center, man. They ain't hiding Rock. Nothing.
I'm sorry, that's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And also, The Rock, what does he do? Talks all the time about what he's cooking.
Mm-hmm. And if you smell it with your nose.
Mm-hmm. Whip it.
Take a big sniff.
I don't know. I mean, there's like...
Oh, God, somebody's definitely done coke off the turnover chain, haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't, it's a wasted chain.
I enjoyed, by the way...
Lord hates a wasted chain.
I don't know
chain.
Why I turned into coke grandpa right there. Like, oh, it's a wasted good chain.
That's nice, though, that we're at that stage in history where there are coke grandpas. Do you think about that? Like, we're not...
That's what I'm calling Howard Schnellenberger from now on.
Coke, yeah. Coke Don grandpa. Like, think about it. We're at the age where there's grandfathers who are like, that's not the good shit. Like, we now have an entire class of senior citizens who'll be like, no, that's cut. They stepped on that. They did. You don't want that. I know a guy. Grandpa.
The village is about to get crazy.
Hey, been crazy. Villages stay crazy. Did you ever think about this, though, that we've got... Like, I know this is not the greatest selection of games that we have in front of us, right? But you know,
it's fine.
It's football. Like,
it's not like, you know, it's not SoCon Challenge bad. It just feels like that phenomenon which we put up with in week one is somehow bleeding over into week two when we could be getting to the good stuff.
I think you've got the capacity here for some hellacious and entertaining ass whippings, especially in the 12 o'clock hour. Oh, like, God. Yeah.
That's what we live for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, some really like, some ones that actually could be fairly entertaining to watch. I do speak, of course, of UCLA at Oklahoma.
Entertaining.
I think UCLA is, they're a work
see
in
that
progress.
Happening to our beautiful, beloved Chip.
Aren't we all? We're all works in progress.
That's right.
It's just, as Spencer likes to say, God is working on all of us, and some of us, he is a little further behind than others.
Hey, listen, UCLA ain't made it in the shop yet, okay? He, you know, God's going to get to that Tuesday. Maybe Wednesday. I don't know. You can call on Thursday.
Chip Kelly. God's got the part out.
I was being unfair because UCLA actually played decent defense against Cincinnati, held them below 4 yards of play.
Yeah.
Oklahoma comes into this game averaging over 10.
Hey, listen, you can't just bring a mind like Chip Kelly in against Luke Fickle and expect to walk out on state. Man, I can't even finish that.
I hope this means Luke Fickle gets an NFL job. I really hope it does.
I fully believe this happened because we declared him the coach most likely to vape with recruits in the preseason.
You know he still has puka shells somewhere.
Oh, he's probably got them embedded into his skin like other people do tribal tats.
He's the Wolverine of the puka shell lifestyle. They're in your bones. The chill is in your bones. He can magically emit Jack Johnson tunes.
They call me Weapon Sex.
God damn it, Ryan.
I mean, I don't know. The other thing, too, is that we're still early enough in the year where there are matchups where I go, man, I don't even know how to begin to predict that. Like, at 12, you got Georgia Tech at South Florida. First of all, they're playing at noon. These are two teams that are half awake. They're made up of big, sleepy adult sons.
One had homework and one had laser tag practice.
What? That's homework. If you take laser tag class.
Laser tag is a varsity sport at USF, yeah. Which is the only nice thing I've ever said about USF.
One just got off working security at the Hookah Lounge, right, on Dale Mabry. And the other one is Georgia Tech.
You're definitely going to have to be more specific about which Hookah Lounge.
The nice one, Ryan.
The one that used to be a hibachi restaurant.
You've seen USF's new logo. Of course it's the nice one.
Oh, my God.
No, that is the countryside or the countrywide of school logos. Which is more ridiculous, the TJ Maxx Merrill Lynch Bull or the word academics?
A good 33% of Bulls fans are just disappointed that the Bull doesn't have a bigger dong.
Yeah, they should have made it bigger. Ooh, trivia. I was once...
I want to see where this goes.
arrested by campus police at Tennessee for decorating the giant brass scrotum of a bull statue that's on campus with sequins.
What's wrong with that?
I know.
Thank you.
That just seems like accessorizing.
General Nealon's hidden maxim.
Miss Andrew takes many forms.
Always bedazzle. Like
just trying to bedazzle a giant set of metal bull nards.
As one does. Are you sure you didn't go to USF?
I'm pretty sure your wife was there, Ryan, by the way, so you can maybe ask her.
Now I finally know what OSCE means.
Look, if at first you don't succeed, don't give up. Pile on more sequins.
God.
That's East Tennessee as hell right there.
Thank you. Can I, before we get into the thick of football, can I bring up a story that several readers brought to my attention today?
I can tie it to football. Hey, who put up a game effort against the Virginia Cavaliers but ultimately lost, despite being one of FCS's better teams? Go Hoos! You beat a really good FCS team. Who is that? The Richmond...
Spiders.
That's right.
Thank you to alert readers Anthony Troya, Clineron, and there was one other tweet that has since been deleted, but I got three consecutive messages today from fans of the and then about 25 snakes came out story to alert us to a $40,000 theft of rare insects and lizards from a Philadelphia insect museum, which, first of all, that seems like a bad idea. Some of the world's most venomous spiders are missing, including spiders called dwarf and tiger hissers. I thought we might be able to get tiger hissers.
Those are the two genders in Louisiana.
Anyway, the most metal part of this, they think it was an inside job because... As calling cards go, this is a spicy one. The staff members who they believe have perpetrated the theft left their uniforms hung from knives that had been stabbed into a wall.
Philly!
Also, I've seen photos of some of these spiders. That spider's going to be driving an ATV down the street. Yeah. It is a capacious spider. It is a voluminous boy.
What do you do with $40,000 worth of stolen insects?
Great phone party? I don't know.
It's a phone party. It's not going to last very long.
I mean, is this all just sort of a thing just to show that, like, you're balling so hard you feed your, like, pet snakes the, like, most expensive insects available, like
the beluga caviar of insects?
Yeah, look, man, my iguana only eats the, like, flossiest.
Let me pull also this maybe accidentally, probably not accidentally, ominous line from the New York Times report on the story, which is one of the heads of the museum urging leniency for the thieves. They're young, and I really hope this isn't something that follows them for the rest of their life. Everybody does dumb stuff when they're young, before noting that one of the most venomous spiders in the world is in the cache that's been taken with them. Somebody's going to try and feed it a piece of pepperoni roll, and it's going for the neck.
Either that, or it's going to be like taking orders at Pat's, right?
Yeah.
With whip or no whip, huh?
Telling you your order is wrong.
Piling French fries atop a tarantula to own the libs.
I take issue with the title museum. Like, it's that's
insect,
a zoo.
Insectarium and butterfly pavilion, and I'm not sure which one that sounds less like that, Philadelphia.
Why does one sound so pleasant? Butterflies.
Philadelphia butterfly pavilion, though. Those are some bellicose ass butterflies.
So they got fucking $40,000 tarantulas at the butterfly pavilion?
No, they stole enough insects to make $40,000 worth of theft, which is like 90% of the insects in the museum.
Okay, but who's the fence? I mean, who's out there like, heard you got a tarantula?
Yeah, that's like, I gotta go round up all of like the major arachnid collectors in Pennsylvania.
Oh, no, that's Todd Bigelow. He's over in Reading. He's the insect guy. You got to go to him. He'll trade you five or a centipede for a flat screen.
We need Alex Kirshner's Pittsburgh accent now more than ever.
Oh my god.
Anyway, speaking of tiger hissing, let's go.
Real quick, the weeknight games this week, there are no FBS games on NFL opening night Thursday, which is part of the reason for the light week two schedule. Is college football just kind of gets at the NFL's way. Let them come through with their Friday big games. Problematic fanfare, and you know, then everyone complain about, like, you know, players wearing Nike and whatever and all that noise and just delightful fanfare. If we do have a Friday night game, the battle for the skillet, TCU, SMU, it's not worth discussing because SMU in the first two games of the Sonny Dykes era, because he did clock in for the bowl game, the score in those two games, just eyeballing napkin math, it looks like 96-33 is the combined score. Both losses. So Sonny's off to a fantastic start.
Thank you for saying both losses, so we know he didn't win one game like narrowly and the other one lose by 70.
Pre-game weather forecast in Dallas, by the way, calls for it to be 90 degrees and thunderstorming at kickoff. The thunderstorm is going to be generated by Gary Patterson playing outside in 90 degrees.
That's spider-eating weather.
God, he's going to be. That's the only reason I'm going to watch this game. Y'all know it. I'm just
going
to
just put him in a dunk tank. Or they'll put him in a dunk tank on the sideline and it'll be full by the
end. I hope he shows up in a wetsuit.
Because the dunk tank will be empty at kickoff.
Wait, Ryan, is wetsuits are designed to keep water off you, not to keep your water off everybody else.
So that means everyone else has to wear a wetsuit.
How do you know it won't work the other way?
I like Jason's idea. Everyone else wear a wetsuit.
It's a wetsuit out, folks. Come on down to the Metroplex.
Every suit's a wetsuit in Gary weather.
What I want him to do is I want him to coach the entire game in a kiddie pool with little like rubber duckies in a dry kiddie pool, so that by the third quarter I can laugh as they start to float.
Ugh.
And move in the vast pool of moisture he's shed during the course of the game.
That's a soup recipe right there.
Just, you always got a stew going if you got Gary Patterson on the sidelines.
Please move on. Please, good God.
Just a big old bubbling cauldron.
If you drink it, you'll hallucinate.
Here, I'll move on. I got a question about one of the first games to kick off on Saturday.
Yeah.
It is New Mexico at Wisconsin. What happened with Bob Davie and allegations directed towards Bob Davie. Did that all just, did we decide as a nation that it all just seemed quaint next to everything else that was going on this summer? Because I don't remember I ever saw anything about that being resolved.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the benefits of being a mid-major program is, I don't know, no one knows you have a team, I guess. It just sort of
I don't remember seeing any resolution one way or the other on that. And Bob, he's just
he was
back?
Suspended for like all the parts of the off-season that don't actually involve needing a head coach.
Right.
Like, I think it was like after signing day or something like that.
Yeah, and that's the last I remember hearing about it.
But he also appealed that suspension, and I don't know what happened.
If Bob Davie is problematic in a forest, right? Like, did it even happen?
Mm.
You know?
Anyway, it's half chili season.
Hey! Yeah, that's at Wisconsin, so just in case you want to see the universe dole out a little more vengeance to Bob Davie, watch that game, because that won't be pretty either.
Or don't.
Take a flyer. Take a flyer. Take a gander. Just see in terms of unknown quantities facing each other. I'm not going to say that it's Farmageddon 2. I'm not going to say that it's a Farmageddon derivative.
Too Farm, Too Furious.
But there is an absolutely agricultural matchup going on in Manhattan, Kansas, because you got about a state versus a state. Mississippi State. Who says the SEC doesn't travel?
Creamery supremacy.
Hell, we go to the big cities like Manhattan, Kansas. Yeah, Mississippi State at Kansas State. Kansas State.
It's a great joke.
It was good.
No.
No, it was fantastic.
It was as bad as the spot was good.
Yeah, no, it was no. But Kansas State last week, coming off of a thunderous victory over... Almost lost.
Right.
It wasn't good.
We don't look backwards.
It wasn't even one of the good Dakota. I mean, it was a good Dakota, clearly, but it wasn't the Dakota that you're explicitly told not to schedule. And also, is this not at least the second time that we've exhorted Kansas State to stop scheduling Dakotas because they're bad at it?
Well, in case they wanted
to... But they're nearby.
Not really.
In case they wanted... Nothing's nearby.
Yeah, well, nothing's close to Kansas State. Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah. Like, Manhattan, Kansas's closest neighbor is, like, Saskatchewan. Now you're saying...
Schedule them!
Yeah, that's fine. The Rough Riders? Rough Riders, come on down.
Sketch. Sketch versus Cats.
Sketch. Phil Snyder can fondly recall when he saw Saskatchewan last on the way to Prospect for Gold in the Yukon.
On the way to the North Pole.
He and Balto.
To kill Santa.
To kill Santa. To kill God.
But write him a very nice letter.
Dear God, you put up a great and classy fight.
Dear God, I'm coming for you.
Don't you remember when Bill Snyder killed God when he went to mine gold in the Yukon? The hottest children's book of the summer.
That's how he invented the windbreaker, because he literally broke the elements of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how that game's going to go at all, because I don't know how either team actually is. Week two, everybody. Week
Can
two.
Someone put Bill Snyder in Thor's Stormbreaker getup, but with a windbreaker?
Ooh.
Thank you. Yes.
Someone will do that. Someone has already done it. You've willed it into existence.
Thank you.
There is a potential very good game in the noon spot.
How are we still talking about? No, my God.
I'm looking at the spreadsheet that Ryan filled out with the actual games to discuss. Mm-hmm. Wait, Arizona, Houston.
Oh, boy.
Khalil Tate, Ed Oliver. Ignore how their teams looked in week one and how their sides of the ball looked in week one. Ed Oliver was awesome, first of all.
Always yeah, nice. Khalil Tate wasn't.
Kevin Sumlin appeared hesitant. He did not know he had a Khalil Tate, I don't think.
But you look back at the box score for that loss to BYU, and you're like, well, clearly something went terribly wrong. Nope. Arizona had no turnovers, only had four penalties, only gave up one sack. Like, they just sort of laid there like, wait, what are the controls? How come there's no training mode?
Yeah, in the fourth quarter at one point, Rod Gilmer looked up and said, that was Arizona's first true read option of the game, which, what?
You disappointed Grandpa.
Did you?
It was now just, this is pod racing.
It was just confusing. You know, like that was, it wasn't good and it wasn't bad. It was a result so ambiguous and strange and unexpected that it just went into confusing. I think they should just burn the tape because it can't even teach you things that were bad. It's not like they were outright incompetent. They were just inert.
By the way, when last we recorded, I was not caught up on PAPN episodes. Those guys who were much smarter than us, just ask them, also predicted Arizona State to beat Arizona in the Territorial Cup at the end of the year. And unlike me, they weren't laughing hysterically when they did it. So stay tuned.
It won't happen. BYU is actually very good. That's why they beat Arizona. Just pretend 2017 didn't happen. Just pretend they didn't literally hire a high school coach as their offensive coordinator and then fire him a few months later just because he used to be a famous quarterback there. And then this result makes sense. Arizona's fine.
They were on a mission in 2017 to suck.
Hi, this is Todd Vanderwerf, the host of Vox.com's pop culture podcast, I Think You're Interesting. I'm the I, and I Think You're Interesting. And every week, I talk to fascinating people from the world of TV, movies, and entertainment. Have you ever wondered what it's like to write a joke for the president?
Number one topic we would not joke about was national security. One of the things about writing jokes for a president is if you have the joke, And it's totally in good taste, but then a week later something happens. There's a tragedy, there's a shooting, there's a terrorist attack. The joke can become retroactively in bad taste. We didn't want anything to end up in a campaign ad.
Or what goes into creating the costumes for a blockbuster movie like Black Panther.
We brought in the head cutter from the Boston Ballet into Atlanta to give us a new suit for the stunt guys that's cut with these special gusset shapes so that they could perform, you know, like the ballet.
You can find so much more information about the show at vox.com/I Think You're Interesting, hyphens between the I, the think, the year, and the interesting. And you can catch new episodes of I Think You're Interesting every Thursday by subscribing to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, can we finally talk about El Asico?
El Asico!
I'm not familiar with this game.
So I would like to share with you a tale from Iowa State history. I know you're salivating right now.
Yeah.
All right. This is an old one. So Pop Warner was a coach at Iowa State for a spell.
It's the thing with El Asico. Go ahead.
During a game he was coaching against the Butte Athletic Club in Montana, he bet his entire wages that Iowa State would win. And at halftime, they were losing 10-2. So what did Pop Warner do? He put himself in the game. What did Iowa State do? They still lost. So, at this point, Pop Warner had already accepted the job at Georgia, but he needed money. So he made a deal wherein he would coach Iowa by telegram. Iowa State by telegram and coach full time at Georgia. And he also did this at Cornell. He worked this arrangement for 5 fucking years and rumoredly only saw Iowa State play in person once during the time period where he was one of their head coaches remotely.
That sounds like a great deal, actually.
He was just coaching via Skype, right?
But it's not Skype because it's like, the telegram carrier died of dysentery. We have no game plan this week.
Again, that's higher quality than Skype, though.
Like he was playing Zork, like a word game, like Iowa State facing a wall, turn right.
Right, yeah.
Pick up rock. I don't understand that.
You encounter a cow. Milk cow.
I don't understand that.
Kill cow.
I understand that.
Steal Jance. You don't have any Jance to steal.
Eat $40,000 worth of spiders.
I think my favorite part about this true story is that we named all of children's football after this guy. Hey, kids, would you like a role model, someone to live after? Well, one good lesson for all of today's youth is to maximize your talents, to make the most of what you can, to touch as many lives as you possibly can, whether they employ you or not.
And not live in Ames.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to learn from here, actually.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, kids, do you know what a scammer is?
There's two kinds of people in this world, the scammer and the scammed.
Hi, kids.
You better Warner start here. Working.
Let's talk about side pieces.
Let's talk about leasing a car versus owning a car versus getting a car signed in someone else's name on a lease.
You know, legally, you can have your car registered as a church. Now it's tax-free.
Remember, kids, tackle to the side. Head out of the way.
Remember, kids, Ryan's a lawyer, so everything that you hear on this podcast has confidentiality in court.
Yeah.
That's how it works. I don't
Ryan, know. Ryan, I think we have our first... I think I have my first need to yell at you coming up on the spreadsheet. Do we not? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, unless you have anything you want to say about Iowa.
Mm.
No, you actually don't. I don't have it. I mean, we can do the Damn It Ryan segment if you want, but it's all late. It's all the late nonsense.
No, we can keep going.
The first Damn It on the spreadsheet is my fault.
Oh, yeah, that's not me. I didn't put that on there.
Do I get to do the rare Damn It Jason?
Damn it, Jason!
It doesn't even feel right in my mouth. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
God damn it, Holly.
Sorry, I apologize to Jason, Jason's family, and the families everywhere.
Why is Liberty Army on here?
Man, listen, can you imagine like more of a battle for your uncle's soul than Liberty Army?
Liberty running that gun and gun offense.
Like, this is the most burn your Nikes game of the year. Like, the troops versus a distorted version of Jesus. Like, Jesus ran through, like... a broken amplifier, you know, like I hate this game so much. I just wanted to bring it up just to say it's happening. That's a shame on all of us that we didn't do anything to stop it. I mean, the troops are fine. The troops are often fine. The troops, you know, as long as they don't do wars, they're fine.
Shut down.
Liberty. The there's no excuse for fine. Liberty, but I don't know.
Anyway, I think we're Army. All, I think we're all on the same page as saying that we hope the troops win by 400 points.
I hope sure. that there are
faced
some...
With, faced with some these two, I'll take the troops. That's no problem.
I want some fierce end zone tackling so I can make some sick Ben Franklin jokes.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, this game is perfect for... if you're a separatist, if you want to be a sovereign citizen, watch this game. See? Army's going right after Liberty.
No, I just want to see Liberty give up a safety.
Hey, speaking of secession, Georgia and South Carolina, 330, baby.
Oh, God dang, the Fort Sumter Cup.
First in the door with a gun, South
It'll
Carolina.
Be interesting to see who gets out to a fast start first.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I think
it bites off more than they can chew. I think we should let Jason take the preview for this game.
This game is going to be, it'll be 5,000 degrees on the field.
Jason, which team do you reckon is going to bite off more than they can chew tactically?
Well, South Carolina has a long history of that. But then again, Georgia is known for seeing a bad idea and signing right up.
Mm. Hence, any game played against South Carolina in Columbia, bad idea.
This game is the steal $40,000 worth of insects of regular occurring matchups. We're
yeah,
just like,
when did
okay.
this game stop occurring on opening Thursday? Why are we to be subjected to this on a normal ass Saturday now?
Well,
I think they're trying to hide it. I think they're like, maybe if we put it next to a Rutgers game, nobody will see it.
I like that each conference has that one rivalry it tries to bury in week two, hoping no one will notice. And this is the SEC's.
Hey, Spencer.
Hey.
Oh, no, wait, ours is next week, isn't
it? Yeah, that's, yeah.
No, there is, Florida's on here as well. Don't worry.
Yeah, Florida has one as well.
But, yeah, this is, I'm just going to go ahead and say, this is a prime number game. This is
a 5-11 all over it.
Yeah.
How late are we going to get in this game where it's too close for too long and Georgia fans are just flipping their shit? Where it's like 13-9 and it's still, I don't know, midway through the third quarter.
I was going to say 10 minutes in the third.
Yeah.
Yeah, 15-10 with 2 minutes. No, I'm going to say 15-10 with 2 minutes left in the third.
This was historically always the game where I had to give Doug a pack of new toothbrushes to chew on.
This is going to be great because it will be Georgia fans freaking out, and then when they inevitably win by 10 points or whatever, just talk.
Oh, it beats Spurrier, and that has the exact same cachet as it used to. Go dog, woo!
He's been dead for 30 years. Don't matter. Mark Richt would have lost this game. He's a son of a bitch.
Kirby will never lose a game. He's Kirby, perfect.
Kirby will never hurt me. I love my new large adult son.
I'm gonna get a haircut just like him.
I already have one.
The barber, give me the Appalachian Mark Davis.
Yeah.
Sorry, not Appalachian. Sorry, Appalachia.
By the way, I think Kirby's haircut has improved about 15%.
That's visor. That's the visor propping it up.
You think?
Yeah.
You think it's still that Cretan cut with the bowl?
Oh, it's like the Lenny. It's absolutely.
Yeah.
Imagine him getting out of a pool.
Slowly.
With 25 snakes behind.
they don't call him Kirby dumb, do they?
Meanwhile, on Tiger Droppings.
Yeah. No, this is going to be my prime number pick for this game. 19-15. This feels like a 19-15 game where everyone's really hot on the sidelines. No one is happy. And South Carolina loses by a margin, which is, they'll lose by four. You know how much it sucks losing by four? Can't tie it with a field goal. So that's South Carolina late, needing a touchdown.
That's my only move. I only have enough mana left for a field goal. Damn it.
Comfort the Georgia or South Carolina fan in your life by reminding them how much they wish it was still 1915.
Meemaw, if we got $7, we can make it to the end of the month and not have to sell our kidneys. We got $6.50.
Damn it, Georgia, you gifted the Magi and me.
Like Debo Samuel's going to do something.
Magi's witchcraft, I've been telling you, all along.
Like Debo Samuel's going to do something incredible. They'll probably come back, right? Like Georgia will go up something like 17-0. That's how it's going to happen. Georgia will go up 17-0, go into stall mode. Jake Bentley will just wind up, start the comeback machine. Ryan saw it in person and was a collaborator, mm-hmm. a conspirator by wearing the onion costume. You've seen it. That boy will lead a comeback. This ain't against Michigan, though. It'll be against Georgia. And he'll get them so close. And then they'll commit a crippling game-ending safety. Right?
That's Ryan putting the Vichy in Vichy Spas.
Can you get a safety on an onside kick? That's how South Carolina will lose this.
I can't believe you stuck on my soup joke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you believe.
Yeah, it can happen. Yeah, I can't wait to watch the last quarter of this because as a neutral observer, I just get to watch everybody be really tense and unhappy. Go Dogs.
Neutral observer is an interesting way to describe yourself in this game featuring Georgia and Will Muschamp.
I root for Will Muschamp in South Carolina.
What if Mice and Men was just like Lenny versus Lenny? It's the new Lenny fight. Like, who is the George in this situation?
It's just the two of them sitting in a room surrounded by dead rabbits.
Yeah.
Why are they sleeping?
Yeah.
Why bunny sleep? Oh, I don't
God,
know,
this
Kirby.
This is the worst college festival theater ever.
All right, let's please move on.
You keep saying that.
It's important that we keep moving forward. Okay?
You know who's not ever going.
Tell that spoken like a Florida fan.
It's Kentucky week, okay? And the important thing is just to get to the end of it.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's streak week. Oh y'all.
Streak week.
Well, it's good to get that over with right away.
You know who won't ever be able to move on and doesn't want to. Thank you very much. That's Texas A&M, y'all.
In so many different ways.
That's right. Because they're in love.
$75 million
in
love.
Not like we were in love with Texas.
Yeah.
Do you know how much $75 million is? It's almost exactly the amount that Paul Manafort was accused of moving offshore and disguising his loan so he didn't have to pay taxes on it.
Which is fair and just because it's all theft.
You're paying Jimbo Paul Manafort money. Congratulations.
Has anybody ever done a Sound of the Police remix for College Station?
Whoop!
Because it's definitely the sound of the police.
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the collie. Whoop, whoop.
I was going to say that's the sound of... Oh, no. I almost did something real bad.
Oh, yeah. Woo. Yeah. No, we... That's I enjoy that that's the standard of a unit now, right? What kind of money? Manafort money.
Manafort money.
Manafort long care money.
Yeah. Manafort long care money. Probably done by Aggies because they're so good at that.
How did we do an entire long care disasters episode without talking about that?
Getting the M and roses. You know, if you just get, hey, if you do a Reveille in those, you couldn't convict. Mm-hmm. Not in the state of Texas. Be like, did you embezzle the money you used to pay for landscaping? Yeah, but look at a picture of it.
Wait, what if he's the one who beat Rand Paul's ass?
Gee, Ryan.
So did you embezzle the money? Yeah,
wait,
but
Paul
then
Manafort
I beveled
or Reveille
it.
Who beat Rand Paul's ass?
Embezzled. I embezzle. I'm guilty of embezzlement.
Embezzlement, Your Honor. That's how I plead.
Have we invented a crime or have we invented a lifestyle?
I love this jury because it's got a 12th man as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is by the way, if you wonder, does Texas A&M have any indication of how it's actually going to do things? Not really. They gave the ball to Travion Williams, but they were going to do that because he had a bunch of yards. But guess who he's going to have to do that against? Clemson. That's right.
They're good.
Yeah. Just like the best defensive line in the nation and a terrifying defense.
Like the best two defensive lines in the nation, basically.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a problem.
Yeah, that seems like an issue. But you know, this will be at Kyle Field where A&M plays so well.
You know what they say, every problem is an opportunity to get the shit kicked out of you in disguise.
Chinese proverbs are weird.
just disregard him. There's no wisdom in that statement, Aggies. They'll be fine. They'll be completely fine.
Oh God! Oh, you guys, we've been Okay, I take back every bad thing I said about week two because it brought us Jimbo versus Dabo.
Is this the first battle of two men with the suffix "bo" on their names?
I mean, no, they literally coached against each other.
They've played several times.
Oh, yeah. No, besides that, has there ever been
first non-con Bobo Bowl?
Has there ever been a Hambo versus Slobo?
I'm so sad that you drowned in the offseason because it's really fucked with your brain.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Let's pull this back on track. Ryan, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What is the signature cocktail of Jimbo versus Dabo?
Wow.
It's got tobacco juice in it.
It's got tobacco juice. It's got boiled peanuts, and it's got rosé.
Oh God! Because they
no wait. I take it all back.
Just rich country trash.
I take it all back. It's Cheerwine Sangria, but the rim of the glass is coated in salted peanuts.
Alton Brown, I will fucking fight you.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
No, wait, I was going to say it sounds a little too good. What's the Walmart? What's the Walmart Mountain Dew?
Is that Moondrops?
Sorry, we were a Dr. Thunder household.
That's a Mountain. Man,
Mountain Rush.
There's like 1,000 listeners who are screaming at their devices.
Yeah, sorry,
right now.
I'm a child of Big K, and I can't help you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll go with Mountain Rush and Dickel Green Label.
Just go with Mountain Moondrops. That's like the West North Carolina version.
Great Value Mountain Lightning. How can I forget?
Okay, it'll be Great Value Mountain Lightning.
Apologies to all. This is going to spawn the longest Reddit thread we've ever.
It'll
had.
Be Great Value Mountain Lightning and Dickel, but then for the rim of the glass, you dust it in chewing tobacco, just a light dusting of snuff. Right.
God, Mountain Lightning and Dr. Thunder gotta be cousins.
Yeah, but you pour them in the same glass, and
also,
woo!
Which one of them's a doctor? It's not who you think.
Yeah, it's like that's the best backfield Clemson ever had.
Yeah. Also, that's a theological seminary doctor. It's not unlicensed.
Dr. Thunder. Calling down the hand of the Lord to strike this place.
That would be the realest backfield in all of college football history, though. If one was like, what are you? I'm Dr. I'm, Mountain Lightning, and this is Dr. Thunder.
Yeah, man.
Oh, no. We just, Oh no. We just made an Imagine Dragons fanfic on the air.
Whatever it takes. Imagine Dragons, the official band of corporate motivational seminars everywhere.
And then about 25 snakes came out.
Q4, here we come. Whatever it takes.
Mountain Lightning, Dr. Thunder.
fellas and lady.
Like, how? Yeah, listen, go ahead.
Listen. It's time to put in.
Whoa!
I got chills. Whew. They're multiplying. Okay.
Woo!
Penn State's sorry ass, which can barely beat Sun Belt teams, is coming to the Heinz.
The big squeeze.
The big squeeze.
Ketchup hell.
Bane's domain.
Literally.
The place where Heinz Ward was fast.
That was because it was amazing. Batman was a comedy. It was filmed in real time.
Penn State in its current state is not worthy of being Pitt's rival. It's gonna be Mike Pence State.
Oh wait, I just realized.
And white and boring.
If you needed a single word to describe the bedazzled scrotum,
I mean, I sure could have used it at the time. Yeah,
you'd call it Narduzzi, wouldn't you?
Fucking hell, I totally would have. Thank you.
And just like a testicle. Sometimes it's there, and when it's cold, it's not. Just what? Like Pitt, but warm them up.
The fuck are testicles like?
I don't think Spencer knows. No. I think what we're learning is that Spencer doesn't know what testicles are.
Yes, that's it. They vary by temperature. Sometimes Pitt gets hot, and they're really out there.
Wait, do they really?
And sometimes Pitt gets cold, and they just kind of shrivel up. I think I actually found a legitimate metaphor for Pitt.
Wow. I don't believe that that's what they really do.
Point being, they're variable.
That is the case.
And this is a rivalry. Between
Miami,
the two teams.
Miami, you lost to balls.
Two of y'all have daughters, and I hope you're prepared to explain shit better than this.
We don't have to.
No, you don't.
Oh, God, great.
Luckily,
point.
They think boys are disgusting, and they're correct, so they don't have any.
And they'll no think they're disgusting forever. That'll never change.
Just listen to Spencer.
It's true. The problem is with boys, you have to explain this all the time because they'll be like, "What's this?" And you're like, "Oh, God."
Put it away.
You should just act horrified. I don't know. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that worked out well for the Puritans. Just fill everyone with shame at the sight of their own form. It'll turn out fine.
My reaction. My reaction is usually to stifle the urge to go, oh, and I hope that sets them up straight for a lifetime of dealing with their bodies in front of other people. Right?
We have told on the show the story of the younger one trying to poop in a urinal, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes. He's an innovator.
Though we should again. We should tell it once yearly.
Yeah. Papa,
it's time.
Yeah.
Gather around. It's time for Pitt Penn State.
As we do every Easter.
You say that facing backwards and pooping into a urinal in the men's room is not relevant to Penn State Pitt. Listener, nothing could be more relevant.
Sometimes Penn State's the urinal, sometimes they're the pooper.
I maintain anytime they lose to Pitt for them, it's bad. Penn State could lose to almost anyone, right? In conference. Like, you don't want to lose to Indiana.
As demonstrated so far this season.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's good because if Penn State loses, they're the urinal just looking at this approaching ass going, oh, God, no, that's not what this was supposed to be.
He ate all those fries on his sandwich. Oh, no.
How much do you like that Pitt is hosting like the ABC primetime game? Sorry ass Pitt. That's awesome, man.
You wash out your mouth.
With ketchup.
With ketchup.
Like you got Kirk Herbstreit in the building and everything for, you know, oh, we got a great crowd here at Pitt.
Actually, watching the contempt leak from his ever enlarging pores is going to be a really fun part of this game for me.
Hey,
we just love it every time we get
Even
to come
Kirk,
here to Pitt.
I your skincare regimen. Fight me.
Just a lovely city with its bridges.
smokestacks.
It's Jacksonville on the Allegheny.
God damn, dude.
Pitt's won two out of the last three, by the way.
The Jaguars do win in Pittsburgh.
So. That's why Blake Bortles feels so comfortable there.
That's one reason Blake Bortles feels so
comfortable. God, I hope Blake Bortles is at this game. Not on purpose, just like wandering.
It's not just like he's busy.
I didn't know where to go, so I just came here because I felt safe.
It's not like the Jags God, really
like
need
a
him.
Salmon returning home to spawn.
Please spawn on the field, Blake Bortles.
Can you
just
order 100
lay eggs?
Can you order 144 lemon drops for everybody within 20-foot range of me, Sarah? This is a sandwich stand.
Okay, just order them for all the Tinas in the room.
Yeah, all the Tinas, all 38 of them. Hey,
Teenies for my Tinas.
Blake Bortles.
Blurk Bortles.
Blurk Blurk Bortles.
Bortles.
Blurk Bortles.
Blurk Bortles.
So good to see yous.
Blurk. Blurk. Blurk.
So anyway, Pitt's going to kick the shit out of Penn State.
Pitt's going to lay the wood.
It's going to be 42-39 again, bitch.
We could drive to this game without too much trouble.
No.
I'm calling this like a strength. This is going to be like a 12. It's going to be like a 12-3 game.
12 nothing.
I'm going to love every minute of it.
Okay, who scores more points?
Pitt.
South Carolina or Penn State?
Penn State.
Penn State.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We'll see who's right. I hope you're wrong.
Listen, if Penn State Pitt is a primetime game, we're all wrong already.
we need to retrace our steps.
We got to think about some shit now. Now we have USC at Stanford.
Very important. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Oh wait, I have another good fact for this.
Yeah.
So this is a story about the Stanford band I've never heard before, and mm-hmm. it's not even much of a story because it's only like a little snippet. Supposedly when they played in 1980, the Stanford band came out with a human skeleton dressed as Tommy Trojan on a horse skeleton. And what I can't tell from the story is like, was this a clever replica or did the Stanford band find a fucking horse skeleton and prop it up and bring it out onto the field? And why aren't more people bringing horse skeletons to college football games?
Or did the Stanford band kill a horse in preseason and like dry it in anticipation of this very moment?
This is going to be like a CBS Dennis Dodd article. Like, why are horse corpses declining in attendance at college football games?
Maybe
this is proof that college football is safe.
I know where you could get a horse skeleton. Same place that you could sell $40,000 worth of insects. Same guy.
Matt Leinart's house.
That's what do you think he's been up to? How do you think he's been keeping the house alive?
Oh yeah. I'll trade anything, man. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think that collector guy's fucking boss.
Okay. There, Ryan, I think has the better idea. I found this hard to believe because I found it hard to believe that Matt Leinart possessed that kind of business sense. But I bet he's an ace barterer.
Started with one red paperclip, bruh. No, I got a horse skeleton.
Yeah. Next up, Bugatti.
Yeah, not for anything like valuable, but yeah.
You're not really trading up. You're just sort of trading in a weird circle. Yeah, hell yeah I am. Now give me those spiders.
Now I got a red paperclip.
Pete Carroll taught me how to do this.
Oh, God. I bet Pete did. I picked up the wrong lessons from that van.
Yeah.
What are the right lessons, just so we're clear?
Oh, I mean the van that Pete Carroll used to travel in while he was playing like dice with teens.
Sure. And stealing their blood for youth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I was hanging out this year.
That's sure. why he brought Leinart in. Leinart had to go into the gas station and get him like Gatorade.
That's it. That's
to you know, hydrate.
He's like, yeah, started with a paperclip.
While
I got
was stealing the blood of teens. We were like, man, a lot of speculative fiction coming out tonight.
Got a Camaro off Dave Wanstead. It was amazing.
Can we? Can I get my damn it, Ryan? Now.
So hey, Ryan, what game do you want to talk about now?
I want to talk about three games, and they all kick after 10 o'clock. Fuck you.
Okay, cool. What are they?
Game of the week suggested a plural expedition.
Cal at BYU.
God damn it, Ryan.
One that Holly already mentioned, Michigan State at Arizona State.
Woo!
And kicking off at 11:59 p.m. because it's technically still Saturday in the Eastern time zone, Rice at Hawaii.
It's Mahalo. It's still Saturday in all time zones, dude.
I think you mean Rice at Hawaii featuring current Heisman Trophy winner Cole McDonald.
Did you hear Holly's disrespect for France?
It's what Sunday and like the Azores. What are you talking about?
The Azores count, okay? Florida's got them scheduled for a non-con.
Okay.
Yeah, they're coming to us, though.
In Gainesville, yeah.
I just want to point out that it's comfortably Saturday.
At 11:59? Okay.
In the rest of the country, dum-dum.
Not the Azores, though.
You did time zone math backwards. Who's Spencer now?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to go sleep for 14 hours.
Yeah, it's my job.
Yeah. Ooh, there's a game. I just want to point out, by the way. Yeah, Kentucky plays at Florida. The streak is alive!
Wait, so again, why?
Y'all, I beseech you. Don't. Having watched this happen myself, I wouldn't even wish it on you two. Don't snap your Kentucky streak to Mark Stoops. It hurts so much worse than you can imagine.
Florida should cancel this game and insist that it's a non-conference rivalry that they just don't want to renew anymore.
I support this.
Ever since Kentucky left the SEC, we've just found that we don't have room for them on our schedule.
We find our division schedule and our cross-division schedule to be plenty for us to bear, so perhaps we'll see Kentucky in future editions, but for now we're canceling this for the next 15 years.
Now that Kentucky's in the Big Ten West...
That'd be an improvement.
Yeah. Speaking of, there's also just a game. I don't even want to discuss it. I just want to point out and go, God damn. Kind of like what kind of.
Like dead bird on the sidewalk game of the week.
What are you putting in your body?
Is it UNC ECU?
It's worse.
No, impossible. Mm-hmm. Because for UNC to lose the first six games of the year, they have to lose to a team that just lost to NCAA.
I have faith in you, UNC.
Is it Youngstown okay. State, West Virginia?
No, worse.
Oh, geez.
And I mean, it might not actually be worse. It might not actually be worse teams, but just the malaise, the shit, the deep coating of malaise around this matchup. Like, there is no reason to watch anything that happens in this game other than to note it and go, this was misbegotten. This is an error of nature. None of this should have happened.
Is it Pitt Penn State? Are we back to Pitt Penn State?
No. This is not a man backing up to poop in a urinal. This is
a urinal backing up to poop in
poop
a man.
Into a urinal. That would be Virginia at Indiana.
No, we didn't. Like, everybody was happy.
That's undefeated Virginia versus undefeated Indiana.
Kansas would kill for that.
Doesn't that make it worse? It makes
Can
it worse for me.
If they both played in the round of played each other in the first round of March Madness, they both lose.
There is one game on this schedule, and Ryan's already brought it up, that to me has fuckery written all over it. Like something will happen in this game, something extraordinarily messed up that we'll be writing about it. Like
Michigan State, oh, Arizona, yeah. State, yeah.
Oh, 100, yeah. 100%.
No, we're staying up for this.
Yeah, this is gonna be festive garbage, start to finish.
I like it because I like the idea of Arizona State barely winning this game, both coaches meeting at midfield, and Herm Edwards saying to Mark D'Antonio, "You got a long career ahead of you, son. You're doing great. You're just getting started out."
I want Arizona State to win this game so bad. Okay, is anybody else developing like a that's my three-legged cat feeling for Arizona State under Herm?
Yes, 100%.
Like, it's funny, but I kind of feel bad, but also I kind of want to put food out for it.
No, this is we need this to work because we need other people to try to copy it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Which Dick John. Next? Yeah, who is next? No, this is a new game. Who is next and where are they going?
Dick Geron will be hired by Illinois.
Tony Dungy to Liberty. That's true.
Kansas has hired Mike Smith.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jeff Fisher is going to succeed through it at Tennessee.
Oh, man.
He's nice. He's real nice.
Mike Shanahan? What's the most uncomfortably tan place we can put Mike Shanahan? Mike Shanahan's getting the Texas job.
State.
Mike Shanahan is already Mike burnt Shanahan's orange. It's perfect.
Uncomfortable tans. Mike Shanahan to Ohio State.
Yeah.
After Herb takes the Notre Dame job,
he'll pop Warner it and take both jobs.
Who is the most? Oh God.
Texas Tech has hired the third Schottenheimer brother.
Yeah, Blurg. Brian, there's no...
Blurg Schottenheimer!
Blurg.
Going to Pitt when Narduzzi moves on.
No, wait, Bill O'Brien to Pitt. Got layers.
I was thinking Marvin Lewis to Cincinnati.
Michigan hires Jim Mora, the old one. Hey, guys! Playoffs! College football has playoffs?